The reading is taken from Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the way of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. I like that slip. This is the way of the Lord. Actually, this is the way he does it. It's good. There we go. This is the way. Prayer. This is the way. My family are very kind, sharing family. And so they very kindly shared their germs with me, which means that I'm struggling slightly with a sore throat. Hopefully you can hear me, and hopefully it will last throughout this time. It feels like we recently looked at the Lord's Prayer as a gathering, and we worked our way through thinking about different aspects of it. But what I want to do is just to remind us the context that we're in this reading, and also particularly to think about the latter bit of the reading, which gives us some instructions around prayer, but more than that, instructions and wisdom in how we engage with God. So let's just remember the context we're in. So we're in a series looking at Luke. Luke was a doctor, and it says at the beginning of Luke, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you." Luke wanted to write down everything he'd invested. As a doctor, he'd looked through, thought through, worked through all of the things that he'd heard and seen, and he wanted to write it down for the Theophilus as he's writing this letter, but for us as well, as we think about, in order that we might have certainty of who Jesus is and certainty of what he did, so that we might walk in his ways, so that we might be people who model our lives around him. And in Luke's letter, in this gospel, he helps us to see that the purpose, one of the purposes of Jesus, was to be a model, to be a model to those that followed. He took up the ways that that people at that time lived their lives of calling others to follow. Well, in fact, people looked to follow others. A rabbi would be one who would teach others and that people would come to follow, to come to learn from. And we hear in Luke's gospel that Jesus called people to follow him, to come and learn from him. His manifesto, his reason for being here is described as the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him to preach good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring God's kingdom. In Mark's gospel, it's described as the time is now, the kingdom of God is near. Draw near to him. But he didn't just want to speak about it. He didn't just come to stand on a platform to preach this good news. He came to show people what it looks like. And so we get to this passage and a context in which those that he'd called to follow, his disciples, were around and about, were watching, were asking questions. What does this look like? What does this mean? How do I do this? He'd called some of them from fishermen, and he called them that they would be fishers of people. Help us to do that. Show us what that means. And so in that context, the disciples see Jesus praying. There was clearly something different about the way that Jesus prayed. Because they said, teach us to pray like you. And we get this framework, a prayer, a way of praying that helps us to connect with God. But it starts when you pray. Not a if you pray, not a anything other than when. When you connect with God, connect with him this way. And we go through a series of statements that we join together as we say when we gather together the Lord's Prayer. But a series of statements that remind us and speak to us of who we're connecting with, of what we should be asking him about, and how we can continually pray and connect. So firstly, we have the character of God. As you connect to God, you connect to a Father, someone who wants us to draw near. So often we can think about praying as praying to someone out there, someone distant, someone who perhaps is just standing over things and making decisions, and we hope in some way that we can change their minds or we can interfere and do things in a different way. But Jesus says you're coming to a Father, a daddy, one who cares, one who cared enough that he would send his son to be with us. One who didn't want to be distant, but wanted to be close to his people, to his creation. And we'll come back to that as we finish our time together thinking about this passage. We praise his name. In the context of praise and prayer, we pray for his kingdom to come. Jesus says he came to bring the kingdom of God. And that ultimately, in the cross and the work of the cross in our lives, in the life of creation, his kingdom was made possible. The fulfillment has been done, but we still wait for its fulfillment as well. Some describe it as the kingdom now and not yet. And we're invited to pray into that, to pray his kingdom come, his will be done. On earth today, as it already has been achieved in heaven. It's all been done. All sickness has been dealt with. All sadness has been dealt with. All sin has been dealt with in Jesus. And he invites us to pray the reality of that on earth as it already has been achieved. As one who cares, he invites us to pray for the needs, our own needs, and the needs of the world around us. Give us our daily bread. Praying for provision in different ways. He tells us to seek forgiveness, to receive forgiveness from him, and to give and offer forgiveness to others, which often starts in the context of prayer, as we work that out in reality. Is remembering the forgiveness that God gives and seeking the forgiveness of others where we've wronged them and when they have wronged us. Is that part of our rhythm of prayer? Do we allow God to search our hearts when we pray? Not because he wants to condemn us, but because he wants to free us from the pain, the hurt, the things that weigh us down. So forgiveness, lead us not into temptation. He wants us to engage with God that we might know his guidance. Where is he leading us? And so we come to these three analogies that he gives. One about audacity. When we pray, will we be audacious? Will we be bold? One about asking, seeking, and knocking. And one that reminds us of who we're talking to. So audacity. He gives this analogy, and it's an interesting one because he talks about a friend. And you'd kind of think, if you went and asked a friend for something, they'd give you it anyway. But in this passage, it's not because of the friendship, but it's because of the boldness, the audacity of someone going to go and do it. To go and ask for something that is needed. Will we be a people who are bold in what we pray? As we think about what his kingdom looks like, will we be people who are bold? We go to one who calls us to be intimate with him, close to him. One description can be described. We can describe God as our friend. But we're coming with boldness. Will we be a bold people in our prayers? Not just for ourselves, but for others. Brian prayed for those people who don't yet know Jesus. Will we be bold in our prayers? And what does boldness look like? It looks like asking, seeking, knocking. Each of these words are not an action by itself, but are words used as a continual thing. Will we keep on asking? Will we keep on seeking? Will we keep on knocking? For God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Because there's a promise there that those that ask will receive, those that will seek will find, those that knock, the door will be opened. But what does that mean? Does that mean every time we ask, we're going to get what we want? Partly. Partly. But we've got to remember that we're talking to a Father that knows us and knows what we need. And so whenever we connect with God, whenever we pray and come to him, we will always receive more of him. We will always get more of him. And so when we ask and when we knock and when we receive, we'll get one of three answers. In his loving kindness to us, he will say, yes, have it. In his loving kindness, he might say no, because it's not the best thing for you. Or he might say, wait, not yet. Each of those answers is loving kindness to us. My wife and I, we moved to New Zealand 15 years ago. Oh man, it's flying by. Time is flying by. We moved to New Zealand, and when we first arrived there, we were given a car by some people to borrow until we could sort out our own car. And so we started to look for a car. And Natalie and I walked through the park on the way into the city that we were going to have a look for buying a car. And Natalie just said to me, she said, what are you looking for? What car are you looking for? And I kind of had a very specific idea in my mind. It was 7 seats. It was petrol. And it was a certain price, and I can't remember what the price was now. I think it was 6,000 New Zealand dollars. And it was very clear in my mind. So Natalie said, well, let's just give that to God, pray, and then we'll go and see what happens. So we did. We sat in the park and we prayed and just said, God, we'll give that to you. If that's from you, we'll see what happens. A friend of ours said that there's quite a lot of hire places where you can hire cars to travel around New Zealand because it's so remote. Most people will fly in and then hire cars to travel around, or camper vans or things like that. And these hire places sell their cars on. So they said, go and try those places. So we went to the first one and we said, we're looking for a car. Have you got any to sell? They said, no, we haven't. And the lady there then looked at me and she said, what are you looking for? And I said, this is what I'm looking for, a 7-seater, da-da-da-da-da. And she just looked at him and she said, as well as working here, my husband and I import cars from Japan. And we have exactly that car in our compound at home. And we haven't got it ready for sale, but we could sell it to you. And I said, well, how much would you sell it for? And she said exactly the price that I'd said to Natalie of what we wanted. It was an answer instantly. It was like, whoa, what just happened there? God was quick. There was a boldness. There was an audacity to kind of go, this is what I want. And it was an amazing answer to prayer. But that hasn't always happened. There's times where God has said, no, that's not the best thing for you. And there's times where he says, wait. I'm in a season at the moment of waiting. We're in that season of curacy coming towards an end. There's another 18 months potentially. But actually that question, and I'm realizing it's the first time, I'm 42, and it's the first time I've got to a stage where what's next is really not clear. You kind of go through school and the obvious next step, sixth form, and then the obvious next step is going to be university, although God stepped into that and changed it slightly. And so I delayed university. And then out of university, I was already beginning to work for a church. So it was really obvious to then go and start work for the church full time. And then God stepped into that and said, I want you to train to teach. So I could have kept on working for that church for the rest of my life. But God intervened and then he's kept on doing that. And it's that kind of, what's next? God, what's next? What's it going to look like? And he just keeps saying, wait. And it's really annoying. He's not saying yes. He's not saying no. He's not saying, this is what it's going to look like. He's just saying, wait. But in the waiting, I get to see more of him. In the waiting, I get to see more of who he is, more of his goodness, more of his character. So it's not you've said wait, so I'm just going to sit. Someone once said that waiting is much more like the waiting at a table than it is the waiting for a train type thing. It's bringing things to God and going, is it this? And him going, no, it's not that. Is it this? No, it's not that. So it's an active waiting. But he invites us to wait and to learn more about him. So will we be people who are bold in our asking, in our seeking, in our knocking, listening for that yes, listening for the no, knowing that it's out of his kindness, and listening to his wait, and what else is he wanting to do and say to us? And all of this, in the context as we finish, is a reminder of who we talk to. In the prayer that Jesus taught, as he says, come to a Father. And so often we can forget how good God is. But when we talk to him, he's not measuring up our goods and our bads and decides, well, I'm going to give that person this much because they've been much better than this person. He's a good, good father. He has good gifts for his children. He knows what it is that we need. And so even as we come saying, give us our daily bread, he knows what it is that we need at different times and in different seasons. And he invites us to approach him, to learn from him, to engage with him in prayer for ourselves and for our world, knowing that we connect to one who is good, who is kind, and who is quick to hear and quick to respond. So let's just take a moment A moment of prayer, a moment of connection with God. Is the things on your heart? Is the situations that perhaps you've given up on? Where God is saying, come and press in. Come and be bold. For some of us, there may be that sense of forgetting who it is we talk to. We think in our talking that we talk to someone who is distant. And God just wants to remind you that he's your father today. That he loves you. That he delights in you. And that he invites you to ask. So Holy Spirit, would you come and continue to speak? Would you help us to be bold? And would you remind each one of us afresh that you are our Father, that you delight in us, and that you invite us into a conversation of seeing your kingdom come and your will being done. In Jesus' name. Amen.